Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Good morning, everyone, and a blessed Mother's Day to all mothers, grandmothers, and spiritual mothers. And Pastor Alexa, you're wrong. 2020, I spoke on Mother's Day online. She said not counted. She said not counted. First Mother's Day on COVID. Okay, let me begin by introducing myself and my family. My name is Gek Cheng, and if you are younger than Pastor Alexa, you call me Auntie Gek Cheng, okay? And that was Uncle Hui Ming, my husband. And we have been worshipping in PGAEFC since 1994. We have two adult children, Timothy and Ruth, who grew up here in PGAEFC, and three grandchildren. I'm a retired medical doctor, while Hui Ming recently retired from 39 years of teaching medical students in University of Malaya. Here is the family photo taken last Christmas in Kota Kinabalu, where my daughter Ruth, my son-in-law Josiah, and family live. Timothy came to join us from Sandakan, where he is based. 15 years ago, Hui Ming and I moved back to my family home to become the primary caregivers for my parents as my brothers live overseas. My mom went home to the Lord in 2022, whilst my dad will turn 98 this year. Here is a picture of my dad and my grandson, Caleb. They share the same birthday, 12th September, one in 1927 and the other one in 2020. So they have this special bond, yeah. The topic that I've been given today is mothers as influencers, for better or worse. The term influencer is now used to describe social media personalities with followings in a range of areas. Worldwide, the footballer Cristiano Ronaldo has the most followers, 648 million. Imagine that. Just for comparison, Reverend Alexa has 534. Wait, and I have 154, okay? So, yeah, okay. On a serious note, we all recognize that mothers are the original influencers. We have an incredible influence on our children, for better or worse, largely due to the sheer amount of time we spend with them. Yeah? Recall the sleepless nights, the exhausting toddler years, the rebellion of teenagerhood, and the energy-sapping day-to-day adventure of mothering. Children bring us the sweetest of joys, but also the greatest of heartaches. Mothering is indeed one of the most worthy of Earth's vocations. Mundane, often brain-numbing work, but with such eternal consequences. With electronic devices bombarding our children with images and information, plus the influence of their peers, how are we to compete with the many voices clamoring for their attention and influence them for the Lord? As a fellow struggler and mother, I invite you today to look at the scriptures with me and see how together you and I can do better in the roles that God has given us. This is a tough topic, but let's not be discouraged if we feel we don't measure up. Because remember, God is merciful, and in His grace, He is always working for our good and the good of our families. Our verse for today is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and chapter 3, verse 14 onwards. I read. Paul writing to Timothy, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So how can a mother be an influencer for the Lord so that our children be thoroughly equipped for every good work? I like to think of it in three areas. By teaching the Word of God, by modeling the Word of God, and by laying the foundation of a Christian home. First, by teaching the Word of God. Paul knew about Timothy's Christian heritage and refers to Lois, his grandmother, and Eunice, his mother, who were instrumental in bringing him up in the faith. I have been reminded, he says, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy was grounded in the scriptures primarily through their teaching from infancy, teaching him God's word from an early age, leading him to find salvation. Chapter 3, verse 14 says, because you know those from whom you learnt it, your mom and your grandmother. And from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. So like Eunice, mothers can influence their children and help shape them into followers of Christ by teaching them God's word. Going on to verse 16, Paul says that the scriptures Timothy was taught has several aspects. It's profitable for teaching, for rebuking, and for training in righteousness. And this has made him a man of God that is thoroughly equipped. So, firstly, teaching. Children need to have the Bible taught to them. Short Bible stories, Bible songs, and family devotions are the children's earliest introductions to God's word. Memorizing scriptures from as early as 3 or 4 is possible. You'll be surprised at how much better memorizers they are than you and I. Proverbs 6 says, My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a lamp, these teachings are light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to life. What powerful words the writer uses to describe God's words. These words we teach our children have the potential to be a lamp, a light, and the way to life for them. The influence of the world through the media and the internet has made parenting much, much harder. We pray that God's word that we sow in their hearts will guide them, watch over them, and speak to them at the right time. Next, when children misbehave, they need correction and rebuke and be taught right from wrong. When they do wrong, they need to be told and they need to know that they have displeased God. Proverbs says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. On a positive note, we are to train them in right living according to the scriptures. Proverbs says again, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Moses exhorts the Israelites in Deuteronomy to continually be teaching their children. Impress these commandments on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. In the course of everyday living, we should talk freely and naturally to our children about what Scripture says in situations that we encounter, so they see the relevance and understand its context. Applying God's word in real time makes it come alive for them. Secondly, mothers can be major influencers on their children by modeling God's word. We do well to follow Paul's advice to Timothy. That is, we are to set an example to our children in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Teaching God's word is important, but our words need to be backed up by our actions. I am speaking as much to myself as to you. Now I have my grandchildren's little eyes focused on me. They don't miss anything. When there is no outward evidence of a consistent life lived according to the scriptures, Children easily detect hypocrisy. We have to be the people we want our children to be. However, I do not think our children expect perfection, but honesty, integrity, and transparency in how we relate to them, admitting our faults and asking for forgiveness when we are wrong. Our aim is not to raise perfect children, yeah, but children who know and love God. I have selected just a few examples of how we may do this. Firstly, by practicing good habits. We display a godly role model through our regular personal devotions, prayer, and Bible reading. We can be easily entrapped by our electronic devices, doom scrolling, watching TikTok videos, sending WhatsApp messages. Do our children see us regularly reading our Bibles and engaging in prayer, or glued to our devices? Again, I speak to myself. My grandson one day said to me, "Grandma, put your phone down and listen to me," you see. Secondly, by displaying the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This is a tough one for our little ones. Like I said, they're always observing us and imitating us. Whilst our teens are watching if we are walking our talk. Love. Is the love that we express at home unconditional and sacrificial, a reflection of God's love? Are we forgiving when wronged? Do we believe the best of each other in the family? Joy and peace. Are we joyful and radiate the peace of God in difficult circumstances? Our children are learning from us how we handle challenges, face adversity, and respond to failures. It's our reaction to turn to the Lord as a family when crisis strikes. Patience. This one is hard. Are we patient when our children make demands on our time? Do we shoo them away when they want to cuddle up or they want to listen to a story for the umpteenth time? Do we sit down with our teens to hear them out when we disagree? Kindness and goodness. Do our children see us being kind, showing compassion to those in need? Faithfulness. Do we demonstrate a faithfulness and commitment to the task we have been assigned? Do we remember the promises we make to our children and try our best to fulfill them? Gentleness. Are we gentle with our words or harsh? Children need to be corrected, but the tone of our rebuke is important. Is our speech seasoned with salt? Do our words and conversations reflect a gentle spirit within? Self-control. Do we demonstrate self-control in the way we administer punishment? Not in anger, but in full control of our emotions. I'm sure when you get home, you'll be able to think of many, many more examples in your daily interactions with your children. Next, by obedience to God's commands. This is a huge area which I don't think I can cover. We may be good or bad examples to our young ones here. Yeah? A quick run through the Ten Commandments will give us an idea of how wide-ranging this can be. Here are just a few examples. What are the idols in our lives? And do our children see us put God first? Are we teaching our children the value of the Sabbath and use it for the Lord? How is our relationship with our elderly parents? And are we setting a good example of honoring them? Do we display covetousness and envy in our daily conversations? Next, communicating biblical worldviews and values. For example, what is our attitude towards money and our success? In our conversations at home, do we introduce godly views and values to our children? In our desire to push our children to excel academically, for example, we measure them by the world standards and we end up glorifying material success and achievement, unconsciously cultivating materialistic values. This is not an easy balance to achieve, for we also want them to develop to their fullest potential. Living in Christian community, by showing hospitality and welcoming others to our homes and belonging to cell groups, we demonstrate to our children the value of Christian fellowship. Because they see us prioritizing life in community, they too will happily come for Sunday school and impact youth. Discerning God's will. Are we prayerful when we make decisions? When important decisions need to be made, like changing job, moving house, changing schools, we should include our children in the decision and pray as a family. Do we teach them to pray for their own needs and help them to discern His will for themselves? So, how are we to be good influencers? Firstly, teaching God's word. Secondly, modeling God's word. And lastly, we lay the foundation of a Christian home. Building a Christian home undergirded with prayer and where the Lord is worshipped and loved is foundational to all I have mentioned about teaching and modeling Christ as mothers. Children flourish optimally in a God-ordered environment where each parent consistently plays the role ordained and determined by God. Common sense dictates that fathers play an equal role in influencing the children. But this is Mother's Day, so I will concentrate on mothers. In the New Testament letters, both Peter and Paul talk about homes where there is a climate of mutual submission, respect, humility, sacrificial living, and love between parents. The harmony and stability that exists in such homes provides the best kind of environment for children to come to their own personal relationship with the Lord when they see the living faith in their parents. Mothers can also be a great influencer on their husbands. Peter has a special word for wives with unbelieving husbands. By the purity and reverence of our lives, and by the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit in our inner selves, we can win our husbands for the Lord. If you are in such a situation, take heart, for the Apostle Paul grew up in such a home. Acts 16 tells us that although his mother was a believer, his father was a Greek and probably an unbeliever. There is no perfect home because there are no perfect people. Do not despair if your home does not reflect what is ideal or if our relationship with our spouse is not as it should be. Our loving and merciful God can redeem in every situation. We do our best to lay a spiritual foundation for our children, but the reality is, despite our very best efforts, some of our children will choose to walk away from their childhood faith. John Piper, pastor and theologian, writes very movingly about his personal experience. I don't think the Bible gives any absolute promise to parents that their faithful parenting will result in faithful children. It's likely to produce faithful children, and we should pray and hope that it will. So how do we respond then to this heartbreaking disappointment? He says, we should not be undone by our perceived parenting failures, but hand over the souls of our children to the sovereign goodness and wisdom of God and forsake anxiety. See, our children are ultimately responsible before God for their own lives, and we can only continue to extend our influence over them through our fervent prayers. A couple more ideas I have here. Should a woman be a full-time homemaker then? To be able to provide quality time and nurturing to our children would definitely be challenging for working moms, yeah? Not impossible, but challenging. It would be wrong for me to prescribe what is best for you, for every woman. Each of you is in a unique situation in which you will need the Lord's wisdom. In many families, there is a genuine need for mothers to work, and it's not anyone's right to judge those who work. I myself left hospital medicine to work part-time in a private clinic when Timothy was born. I adjusted my hours such that I was away at work when the children were in school and was able to be with them when they came home. Of course, it meant a much smaller income and not pursuing a pathway to be a specialist, but I can testify that the Lord has repaid manifold to me. Lastly, I want to mention the importance of self-care for mothers. Motherhood is stressful at every stage. Do not neglect your own spiritual walk. A continued awareness of the Lord's presence with you will sustain you in the most difficult of situations and keep your focus on God. Do not try to be a super mom. Recognize and reach out when you need help. And don't be ashamed to admit you are not coping. If you don't belong to a community or a cell group that will support and pray for you, please look for one. I move on and end with some stories of the mother figures in my own life and the influence and role models they have been. My mother, my grandmother, my mother-in-law, and my aunt. Firstly, my mom. I owe my Christian upbringing to her. Church was never an option, and we were expected to pay full attention during worship service, otherwise it brought stern stares from her. She was a remarkable woman who served God all her life. If you are familiar with Proverbs 31, yep, she was that woman. Always well-groomed, she had a full-time career as a teacher, brought up three children, kept herself busy learning new skills, and served in many leadership roles amongst the women of the Methodist Church. Although she suffered from Parkinson's and has her eyesight failed, she would still host Bible study in our home with notes retyped, either by me or by May, in a size 48 font, okay? One A4 page only had 11 lines. Then we would type, and then print. Such was her determination to continue to learn and grow. This is a photo of mom in school. She taught in Catholic high school with her boys, and she passed away in 2022, like you know, but this is a birthday we celebrated in 2010. Secondly, my grandmother. This is my mom's mom, yeah. She became a Christian through the ministry of Methodist missionaries in Malacca. Both she and my grandfather were teachers and faithful members of the Methodist Church. A fun fact is my grandfather was Pastor Sewell's headmaster when he was in primary school, for those of you who know. Anyway, it's a long time ago, yeah. After her death, I found her writings, grandma's writings, in notebooks and letters and discovered how much she lived in dependence on God, especially when her health failed and how she constantly prayed for us, her grandchildren. This is my grandma with me, right, in 1958. And this, can you see the prayer? I can't really see her. Never mind. This is one of her prayers. Seeing my name in her familiar handwriting always makes me feel a bit teary. She said, dear grandchildren, then she puts all our names down. She had 8, I think, or 9. Then my name is there somewhere. Then she says, study hard, be good, live worthily, and be willing to serve God and man. Thirdly, my mother-in-law. Widowed in 1987, she turns 97 this year and is the family's, my husband's family's, matriarch and prayer warrior whose faith is a quiet and steadying influence on the family. Nothing is too small for my mother-in-law to pray for. She has 10 great-grandchildren and she's kept busy with our prayer needs, and we all look forward to her prayer of blessing at our Chinese New Year reunion dinner. Although she did not have much formal education, she led her own cell group in her home until she was 90 years old. Now she's 97. And, this is my mother-in-law. After every visit, we visit her. It's a tradition she will pray for us for a safe journey when we depart. So when we last visited, I took a small peek at my grandson just to make sure he's, behaving, because great-grandma is praying. And I couldn't resist taking this photo because he had his little hands clasped and his eyes closed like that. So cute. I said, must take a picture. So there you are. So our papa is praying, and then we're all surrounded there, listening to her bless us. Yeah. Lastly, my aunt. This is my father's sister who was single, but that did not deter her from caring for and being a spiritual mother to countless people in church and serving faithfully. She was a wonderful aunt who was gracious, loving, and never forgot a birthday. We were always close because I was the eldest of all her nieces and nephews, and I was responsible to care for her as she grew older. When she went home to the Lord, my duty included clearing her belongings. Next slide. And this is when I found her prayer diaries with the names of people she prayed for with answers to prayers. In book 3, page 40 and 41, I found the names of my children. I looked carefully to see, you know, who she prayed for. These women continue to inspire me. They are my heroines of faith. They are cheering me on in my mothering journey. And as my grandma said, that I may follow in their footsteps to live worthily and serve God and man. Finally, I want to address some special groups of people. Fathers, grandmothers, aunties, and aspiring mothers and fathers. Fathers. Next slide. Fathers, we need you. Yeah, you. I won't let you off today. You are our co-workers and co-influencers as we navigate the challenges on this journey of raising another generation to love and serve the Lord. When the going gets tough, we really appreciate your prayers, your physical help, your support, your encouragement, and your godly example. Next, grandmothers. My mother had that on the table for years. I only appreciated it when I became a grandmother. Next slide. When grandmothers read to us, they don't skip pages or mind if it's the same story over and over again. Everybody should have a grandmother, especially if you don't have television, because they are the only grown-ups that have time. Next slide. Let me read to you Moses' exhortation in Deuteronomy. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. In the tradition of Lois, the Apostle Paul's grandmother, I have a role to play in the lives of my grandchildren. Caleb was born in 2020 at the height of the COVID pandemic. I retired from being a GP and with the help of his other grandmother, took turns to look after him while his frontliner parents worked. This arrangement is in fact ongoing and I just returned from KK 3 days ago. Pastor Alexa said, if I don't come back, she will like, don't know, do something to me. I personally know that many of you in PJESC are like me. You are helping our children raise their children. To be influencers to our grandchildren and helping to pass the baton on to the next generation. It's not easy for all joints and bones, and sacrifices continue to be made, but our reward is to see the young ones grow up in the Lord. Here you are, the three little ones that take up so much of my prayers, my time and energy. Caleb turns 5 this year, and my M&M twins will be 5 months next week. Spiritual mothers, aka aunties. Now everyone can be an auntie. All of us ladies, married or single, can be spiritual mothers. On this Mother's Day, I want to celebrate you. Many of you are already an important influence on your nieces and nephews and the many young people that God brings along your way. Single ladies, you have an important ministry. You have the time and the resources to mentor and journey with the young people in PJEFC. Those of you who know me well will know that I enjoy being an auntie. I take auntieing very seriously. There are many things aunties can do. Walking alongside young people has enriched my life in countless ways. Let me give you some examples of the auntieing that I do. Some of my favorite people in young people in PJSC come from Duya Cell Group, who met in our home and whom I saw every Tuesday for 5 years before COVID struck. It's a very old slide, yeah. I miss them dearly. But I'm so proud to see how they have grown up and now meet in their own homes. Next slide. Hui Ming has been teaching medical students in University of Malaya all his working life, and since 1985, we have been privileged to host Christian medics for meals, join them for retreats, and form precious bonds with them. After graduation, it is always a joy for Prof. Cheng and Auntie Cheng to to meet them and follow them up in their journey. Lastly, one of the most rewarding things that a senior auntie with their senior husbands can do with young people is premarital counselling. Next slide. This is one of our earliest couples, Chong Ek Lee and Angelina, with their three daughters, Gloria, Joy, and Carrie, many years after we did this with them. Now I have spiritual grandchildren. Finally, a word to the young single ladies and gentlemen here today who are aspiring to build godly Christian homes. My question to you is, are you now equipping yourselves to be positive influencers to the children you will one day have? Are you aiming to grow to be mature, who will one day be able to teach your children God's word and be godly examples to them? If you are single, does your criteria for a life partner include the fact that he or she be a positive spiritual influence to your children and together with you be able to build a godly home where Christ is Lord? Be specific in your prayers, for this is the Lord's will, that together with your spouse, you will raise another generation to worship and love Him. So whoever we are, mothers, fathers, grandparents, single or married, young or old, let's all be influencers for the Lord. May God help us to be obedient to His call and grant us His grace to embrace the roles He has given to each of us that we influence all who come our way for His kingdom.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.